from the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Pengilly. Good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. How was the golf yesterday, Meadow?
Oh, right. Unreal. We shot one under our four-ball Ambrose team of Lillis, Maloney, Tuanui, and myself. And we all had horrendous moments and some okay moments.
Well, that's the best part about Ambrose, isn't it? You can just hit it anywhere, and as long as one of your teammates hits it nice and straight, then you're sweet.
That's
don't have to worry
exactly
about it.
Exactly right. Takes the pressure off, but the worst is the six-foot putt. Or the four-foot putt when no one else has made it and you're just shaking over the top of it, waiting for everyone else to slam you when you don't make it, when you go last. We had a couple of those. Great day. What a course it is there at New South Wales. And, it was one of the better golf days I've been to, mate. But the Dragons in the news, your team and your colleague at the Herald, Michael Chemis, breaking the story yesterday concerning Anthony Griffin. And we've been debating this morning whether he's, it's untenable that he even continues as coach moving forward from this day.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, isn't it, Jared? Because obviously the club has tried to be as transparent as possible and have told Anthony they want to sort of scour the market, look at other options potentially to take over in 2024. They've asked him to reapply for his job, and he's obviously free to do that. But having something happen so early in the season, it's quite strange. And I think even Loz, you'd probably admit the Dragons have showed some positive signs in the first couple of weeks. Probably certainly performed a little bit better than most people expected to and got off to an okay start. They certainly in the fight against the Broncos for 70 minutes there last Saturday night in a game where most people come out of it saying, well, the Broncos might be the real deal to be a top eight team and a genuine top four team this year. So what effect this is going to have on the team, I'm not too sure. Like, my criticism is that they get their timing wrong about when to look for a new coach. I think they had a chance to try to get Cameron Serraldo at some stage last year there, and they hung on and hung on and hung on with Hook and decided to go into this year and say, okay, he'll be our coach to start the year. And after two rounds, they're turning around saying, well, we're going to open up the process now and start interviewing external candidates. So listen, I don't know where it goes from here. Obviously, they're going to try and move fairly swiftly, but it's hard on Anthony Griffin now, isn't it, Loz?
Yeah, it will be. But as we keep talking about, like, the playing group are saying that they want him and they're supporting him. Well, now's the time that they dig in, because if it goes pear-shaped pretty quickly, it's hard to see him sort of lasting the rest of the season, you know. But they've got to perform well against the Sharks this weekend, the Dragons, because you know how things operate in the NRL. You can either go, it can go sour very quickly, or you can have the bugger you attitude and get the job done and win and going a winning way, and then you force people's hands.
I just wonder what they're thinking in terms of another coach, Loz. Like, they've obviously got a few of those old boys who are in the mix and have done their time.
Adam, to cut you off there, tell me whether Jason Riles has got a get-out clause in his contract with the Roosters?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, Loz. I definitely know his contract at the Roosters till the end of 2024, and we do know what happened with Adam O'Brien when he tried to leave his contract a year early to take the Newcastle job. Put it this way, it didn't go down well with Nick Politis and Trent Robinson. He eventually was allowed to leave that contract, but when Nick signs a deal with someone, he expects you to be there till the end of that contract. So Jason Riles still has another year to go next year on his contract. There's going to be inevitable talk about Dean Young. There's going to be inevitable talk about Ben Hornby, who have both done work now away from the Dragons at other clubs. Obviously, Dean Young up at the Cowboys and Ben Hornby at the Rabbitohs. Another guy I think's name will be in the mix will be Shane Flanagan, obviously. He knows the club. He's been there a couple of different times now as an assistant coach, and then obviously he was working there last year as the list manager. I don't think he's made no secret about the fact that he would like to take on another head coaching job. And I think Manly have been quite open in saying that, yes, we want him as part of our coaching staff, but if another job comes up, we're not going to stand in his way. And then obviously you've got the likes of Des Hasler and Michael Maguire sort of still sitting there in the background, premiership winning coaches. So I think the Dragons just want to give themselves as long as possible to try and sort out this next coach, which is fine. I've got no massive issue with that, but like, we're into round two already and we've opened up this process. So anyway, I think the proof will be in the pudding and the results will certainly tell the story in the next couple of months.
Racing and the Golden Slipper winner Shinzo is off to the paddock.
Yeah, no great surprises at Jared, to be fair. I think Chris Waller, we know, is always quite conservative with his horses. And Chris admitted in his own words, he would have loved to have tested him in the size produce over 1,400 metres, and he probably would have started a short price favourite in that race. But after coming through that Golden Slipper, he's decided to give him a break and get him ready for his three-year-old season. And the one thing you've got to consider as well is that he's done all this in his first racing preparation. Like, he didn't debut until this year after Christmas. So that's quite uncommon for a lot of these two-year-olds to do that and still win a Golden Slipper. So Chris is going to obviously err on the side of caution. We know he backed up after the Slipper when he won the Pago Pago. So had a couple of tough runs in the space of a week. So he'll head to the paddock. He's done his job. He's worth an absolute packet now. Can't wait to see him back in the spring as a three. I'd imagine he'll be probably targeting races like the Golden Rose. And if you're not going to go over further ground, I'll probably bring him back for the Coolmore Stud Stakes. So, yep, can't wait to see him back in the spring.
What do you know about this multi-million-dollar mare, alcohol-free?
Well, she cost a fortune, Loz. We know that. More than $10 million. They brought it down to Australia, the most expensive horse ever imported to Australia, I think it's fair to say. And obviously, she was at the trials there yesterday, had a nice little hit out, won a trial quite comfortably. That's not to say too much about the opposition. I think it's probably a fairly moderate sort of trial. And I've read with interest that Adrian Bodd, I think you guys have spoken to him on the program about this, he's going to target probably at this stage the Queen of the Turf, so which I thought was a bit of a surprise. I thought they might have tried to keep it to the sprint trips and take on the TJ Smith Stakes fresh down here in the Autumn Carnival. But I think it's fair to say that in the spring, they'll probably try and keep it to the shorter trips. And when you've paid that much money for a horse like that to come down to Australia, yes, she's an extremely valuable breeding commodity, but they're going to want to get some of it back on the track, I would have thought, at some stage. So you'd imagine the Everett's going to be a nice, suitable race for her in the spring. Yulong's got a slot in that race. So, yep, she'll probably have one run in the Queen of the Turf. Not quite sure if they'll go too much further than that this autumn. And then bring her back for the spring and maybe target an Everest.
Yeah, I'm just seeing she's won, well, four Group 1s, two of those over the mile and two over the 1,200, including the July Cup, of course, at Newmarket last year, which she beat Artorias, which ran third in that race. So she's clearly adaptable and, you know, got some versatility about her. So, yeah, intriguing. And just looking at the markets too, so for the Queen of the Turf with Tab, she's $5, and as it stands, $15 for the Everest. And as you mentioned, Adrian Bott said we'll probably have a crack at the sprints in the spring after the Queen of the Turf in the short term here in the autumn. But just Zach Purton, he's set to come home for day one of the championships as well.
Yeah, great news, Jared. He's obviously came back with great success, winning a couple of those Group 1s a couple of weeks ago. He's been booked to ride both Giga Kick in the TJ Smith Stakes and Mr. Brightside defending his Doncaster crown. So he's picked up both those rides with Craig Williams still injured from that fall a couple of weeks ago down there in Melbourne. I think Zach's really enjoying himself coming back down to Sydney and having these hit-and-run missions. We know he's getting towards probably the end of his career. He's made no bones or made no secret about that. So another hit-and-run mission for him on day one of the championships just adds a bit more star power, I suppose, to that first day at Randwick.
And what do you like today on the Kenzo?
I'm going to have a throw at the stumps and try and get some value in the first here, Jared. Race 1, number 3, Ackley's, is my best value bet on the program. She's a horse that had a couple of runs as a two-year-old so far. She actually debuted in that Gimcrack Stakes, I thought, ran really well behind Platinum Jubilee. Went for a little spell, came back, and I thought ran well again behind Lazargo at her second start. So she's had a bit of a break now, and looking forward to seeing her first up. I think she's a big price, so we'll have something on her. That's Ackley's in the first on the Kensington track.
Give her strength. Race 1, number 3, Ackley's, barrier 2, $17 to win, $4 to place with Tab. Have a great day, mate.
See you, boys.